Welcome to the Vancouver Island Music Fest podcast. I'm Dan McLennan, and this is Linda McRae.
This winding road has carried many a mighty load, from Knoxville up to Hudson Bay. Old touring cars, honky tonks and bars, some got lots and found along the way.
Well, my name's Linda McRae. I'm a Canadian singer-songwriter, spending a lot of time in the U.S. now. I married an American fella, and we're getting ready to release our first record on our own label. And I still consider myself a Canadian artist. I'm an island girl, so I know the island like the back of my hand. I was born in Duncan. Well, my mom and dad lived in Mill Bay and then Shawinigan Lake, and then we moved to Victoria.
Tell me about Spirit of the West.
I was in a band called Terminal City in Vancouver for, I think, about 5 or 6 years. And we were both bands, were aware of each other. We used to go to each other's shows. And the guys eventually, they asked me if I'd like to join the band in 89. And I said, sure. So I kind of jumped ship and joined them and spent 8 years on the road recording and working with them. And it was just so much fun. We had such a great time. It was a wonderful experience. I really learned a lot. You know, we were pretty spoiled in terms of success and everything. As you know, the last few years I was with the band, probably since from 91 or 92 until 97 when I left, we were traveling in tour buses and, you know, kind of living the good life, I guess you call it. But it was great. It was a wonderful experience. And I left the band in 97 and put out my first record right after that. So I've actually been on my own now as a solo artist longer than I was actually in the band, which is kind of scary.
was that a tough call to make, to walk away from success like that?
Yeah, no, it wasn't. I just kind of, I thought to myself, you know, I really want to do this, and my own songwriting doesn't have an outlet in this band, and I really need that for my own sanity. You know, so I just thought, I'm not getting any younger. If I don't do this now, I don't want to be regretting it years down the road, you know, and I've never looked back. It's been a great decision. And I started playing the banjo in 2004. I think I kind of discovered it, and, it's really introduced me to a lot of music. I was bottle fed on country music. So I already had the, you know, that aspect of the music, and then having the Celtic thing through Spirit of the West, which I was not really introduced to that until that type of music until I joined Spirit of the West. So it's kind of this amalgamation of, you know, some of the Celtic and the Appalachian music that I've discovered through the banjo, and the Appalachian music really takes its roots in a lot of the music that came over from the UK. A lot of the Irish tunes and the English and Scottish and Welsh tunes, everything just kind of all in a, you know, as America sort of put its own stamp on it, a lot of the old tunes and everything. So I'm just really become interested in the roots and where the music came from, and learning about the people that were responsible for those styles, and sort of continuing on.
Underneath the blue Kentucky sky, twinkle in a poor coal miner's eye, turn the head of the prettiest red rose around. Where the bluegrass grows and shotguns shine, flower born beneath the pines, holds a light in her daddy's eyes all his life. Her daddy kept the pig stick by the door, keep his family safe from harm. If ever a blue gin soaked moonshiner caused trouble. Old Aunt Boyd, one jealous night, swinging that stick with all of her might, I'll kill him dead, was all she
hit baby. The little girl cried 5 whole days. Tears pressed flat against her face. What can we do? She has no shoes. We need to see a doctor. And a quilter mama made out of overalls. Carried her all those 12 miles. But the doctor said she'll soon be dead because you have no money.
It was Steve Martin who said it's impossible to play a sad song on a banjo. But while there is a...
That's not true.
I was just going to say that. There's a wonderful brightness and darkness to the banjo. What is it about the language of that clawhammer that speaks to Linda McRae and through Linda McRae?
Well, it's... I think the thing that I love about it is it's very rhythmic. And I'm a real rhythm person. Like I have to really concentrate to, find out what the song's about because I'm so drawn to the rhythm and the melody and everything. So I think that's one of the things about the banjo that really, was a real breakthrough for me because I wasn't a good enough guitar player to be able to play leads. And so, you know, you don't want to sit there when the solo part comes along and go, oh, this is where you're supposed to imagine where this is a pedal steel or this is a fiddle playing here or something. I really, you know, that's the beauty of clawhammer banjo is that you can fill in, you can play the melody lines somehow for some reason just because of the structure of the, you know, where the notes are and the chords and the tunings and everything. It just makes it way easier. It's like having this whole orchestra behind you in a way, you know, because it is such a rhythmic instrument and you can play the melody and the chords behind with this incredible loping sort of rhythm, you know, that the clawhammer style provides. It's a great instrument for a songwriter. It's very evocative and it's just so much fun. I really enjoy playing it and it really rounds out the sound and fills everything out.
I say Vancouver Island Music Fest, it sounds to me like in some ways this is a bit of a homecoming for Linda McRae. What comes to mind when you think of the Music Fest?
Oh, great music. I have so many incredible moments, you know, I've played it, I think this will be my third or fourth time there. Doug Cox, who runs the festival and books the festival, has like he thinks like I do as far as music goes, which is such a joy because whenever I go there, I just see stuff that I really want to see. You know, everything is so great. But I got to see Doug Somm. I think it was he passed on not too long after he performed there, maybe within a year or two. But he had Amos Garrett's band and Prairie Oyster was his backing band. And it was, oh man, it was amazing. It's just, I love playing the festivals because, you know, it's one of the things that it's when I'm touring all the time, I only get to hear me, you know, so the festivals, it's like recharging your batteries. And I love nothing more than to go to a festival and try and get as much in as I can, because I just feed off of that stuff. You know, it really inspires me. I find it incredibly energizing, listening to other people and hearing great music. I'm just really looking forward to the Vancouver Island Music Fest. It's a beautiful location, and it's just going to be so much fun. Doug's had me doing some of the workshops. I hosted a songwriter series in Vancouver for a number of years and did it in Toronto and down in Buffalo and stuff as well. And doing some of those workshops where you're playing with other songwriters on the same stage, you know, sharing songs and stuff, is really fun. I really love doing those too. So hopefully he'll get me in a few of those this year.
I never thought I'd live to love the cold dust. I never thought I'd pray to hear that tipple roar. But Lord, I wish that grass would change to money and them greenbacks fill my pockets once more.
Happy doing what I do, and you know, my husband has made such a huge difference in my life and my career. It's been a really good thing, and we're really starting to notice you know, the progress that we're making as a result of all the hard work that we've been putting in for the last 4 or 5 years since getting together. So it's been great, and I have no regrets at all. I've been proud of what I've put out, you know, over the last, since I started doing my own stuff after leaving the band, and this is kind of the culmination of, I really feel like I'm finally figuring out who I am as a person and as a songwriter. It's taken me quite a while, but I kind of feel like I'm finally getting there, you know.
Linda McCrae on the Vancouver Island Music Fest podcast. The music festival wouldn't be possible without an army of more than 1,000 volunteers to make sure everything works, and they've all got their reasons for coming back year after year.
My name is Diana Page, and I'm the coordinator of the kids area at Vancouver Island Music Fest. My basic philosophy of why I've been involved with the kids area right from day one is that if you have a family event and you have things really well set up for the kids have a good time at the festival and they want to be at the festival, and the parents then have a good time. So for instance, you know, we have this wonderful space where the kids get totally involved in something that's just creative and fun and not very elaborate, and the parents can actually sit down beside their three-year-old who's playing with Play-Doh, for instance, and has, you know, this wonderful time of hearing the Grierson stage right there and just being able to relax. And if they've got school-age kids, the kids are busy doing things. And again, you know, the parents can spell each other off, you know, parents of friends can spell everybody off and spend a bit of time in the kids area, and the kids are happy and willing to sort of put up with hanging out for the whole weekend at an event that in certain ways is quite adult oriented and is about sitting still on the grass a lot. But we have lots of things to do, and that keeps it just really fun, as well as, you know, being able to go for a swim in the river at times too and run around, you know, this whole area. But the kids area is really focused with things just for them to do, and with a real focus on simple creativity and just the whole creative spirit, I guess. One example would just be that, you know, we have these little building blocks that are basically like little sticks, and over the years they've been built with over and over and over, and they can be built into towers and things, and kids wind up sitting there building things and cooperating in an amazing way. Like it's just really something to sort of watch that happening. And, you know, you sort of have to imagine that while this is going on, there may be seven world musicians performing just across the field with, you know, this incredible sound all around us. So that's what we're sort of, you know, we're partaking of this amazing music. And the kids will sit there and they'll build. And one year there was a very active five-year-old who was hanging around the older boys who were building a tower, and they actually got him to sit down, and he sat still, and they built a huge cage all around him out of these little tiny sticks, and he sat there quietly, almost meditatively, while they did that. And it was, you know, we've never forgotten that. He's actually, I think he's over 20 now. I just saw him quite recently, and he's been hanging out at the kids' area for years, but of course now he's just at the festival as one of the, I'm not sure if he volunteers or not. I'll probably see him this summer, though.
Children's Area Volunteer Coordinator Diana Page. If you're interested, click on Get Involved on the Vancouver Island Music Fest website. The volunteer application process has changed this year. Thanks for listening to the Vancouver Island Music Fest podcast. I'm Dan McLennan, and thank you, Helen Austin and Todd Butler, for taking us home.
We can sit together and watch the show. Oh, in any weather, we'll watch the show here at Vancouver Island Music Fest. Here at Vancouver Island Music Fest. Here at Vancouver Island Music Fest.